Hey, fearless fundraisers, I'm John Lego. It's time. Buckle up. It's a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers just like you to continue making impact in our communities, building better tomorrows, and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a trailblazer or seasoned pro, you'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations and we'll chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders to explore hot-button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. All right, welcome back, Raise Nation Radio. What's going on there with my microphone? There we go. Sorry about that. Welcome to another episode of Raise Nation Radio. We're so glad that you're here. If you've been with us before, thank you for making the show so popular. We're like crossing our 150th episode soon, and it's all because of you. So thank you for tuning in. If you're new, we stream on about 10 different podcast channels. We're on YouTube. We're on onecause.com. So you can find us anywhere and you can follow us anywhere. So we hope you love this episode and you continue to be part of the Raise Nation family. So we are going to get started. I am so excited to introduce my next guest for a number of reasons. Not only is she amazing, doing great things to impact the communities, and she's just joined our Indie Tech Gives family, which we're going to get into a little bit. But before we jump ahead, please welcome to the show, Crystal Morton. She's the executive director and founder of Girls STEM Institute, and I just love the title. I can't wait to get into the mission. Crystal, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I know you're super busy because I get emails from you all morning, noon, and night, which is pretty crazy. So I can't imagine what your day-to-day is like. But before we get into that, we want to know a little bit more about you. I understand you founded Girls STEM Institute and you lead the charge there. So just tell us a little bit about you, how you got to Girls STEM Institute, what was the why behind finding it? And we just want to get to know you a little better, whatever you want to share. We're all ears.
So yeah, I'll share a little bit about my story. So I'm originally from North Carolina. So I was raised in rural North Carolina. And I believe that my interest in providing STEM learning in informal spaces is centered around my experiences growing up. We lived in a very small town on the Middle Row. That's the name of the street. And during the summer, my cousins and I, friends in a neighborhood, we'd get together. We had a bike club. We had a teacher. She may have been retired that would do a literacy program with us. And so we would have literacy learning, but then we would just explore throughout the day because the neighborhood would watch us where our parents were at work. So we might be in the woods picking berries. We might be trying to build things. It was just a time. As I've gotten older, I realized like we were having these very innovative ideas that we were implementing growing up. So I believe that seeded in me like this notion of learning outside of school spaces. Mm-hmm. My mom also shares a story that when I was really, really young, I proclaimed, I don't know if I was two or four, she's one of those two, she said. And I was like, I'm going to be a teacher one day. And my older sisters, so I'm the youngest of three girls, they would let me teach them all the time. So we would play school, they would let me be the teacher. So they helped to cultivate this desire to teach. And so fast forward, you know, high school, I enjoyed math. I did okay in it. I don't say that, you know, it was always an easy journey, but it was something that I enjoy. I do enjoy working with numbers. And I wanted to go into computer science. And so I went to UNC Chapel Hill, and that was the major I selected. But that teaching calling was just on me. And so I ended up going into teaching. I'm a woman of faith. I really identify with my Christian identity. So I know that teaching was my God-given gift. And so I chose to follow his leading and I went into teaching, taught high school math in North Carolina. And when I was a high school teacher, I noticed that I would have girls, particularly Black girls, that were in my learning spaces that shouldn't have been. Because I taught a course, one course that I taught was called Algebra 1 Part 1. So I taught algebra across a full year. So half of the course, it took over a full year. It took the other half the second year. And I had several Black girls that should have been in more just to say for like a more advanced classes. And I'm like, you know, why are they in this space? Love having them in that space, build phenomenal relationships. But I'm like, they are missing out on the mathematics learning, and why? So I share a story of a young lady, I'll call her Angie, that was in the Algebra 1 Part 1 class. She passed my class. She went on to the next class. But Angie ended back up in my class in year two for her second year. And the short of it was like, you know, we can't teach her. She's having interaction, you know, she's having this attitude. She's having negative interactions with other teachers. So she was with me for a second year, which meant that Angie lost a year of mathematics learning. I got to know Angie. I got to know her family. And so I got to understand that Angie was dealing with some very deep trauma. And so it wasn't that she just had this off-putting attitude. She was really struggling to build those relationships because of what she experienced and what she... And so a lot of things happened, but that's the story that I hold on to because I was like, you know, people that see her brilliant, they saw her having this quote-unquote attitude and was like, oh, we can't teach her. So she's coming back to you, which hindered. And so it was for me to think about, okay, what does this mean for life? Girl, particularly Black girls, what does this mean long term? And so I, when I started teaching after I graduated, I knew I wanted to go back to get my PhD in education. And I wanted to be a math educator, which I'm like, hey, I can change the teaching field if I teach teachers. And so that's what I went back to do. But I always kept those relationships with young ladies, young girls, and that experience in that classroom was with me. So that was kind of seeding, kind of some seeds for the work that I wanted to do. And I'm going to backtrack. I feel like I'm just kind of all over the place.
Oh, this is so interesting. I'm fascinated. Keep going. Backtrack all the way.
When I was in school in North Carolina, my first year of school, 19 years old, I was walking to get something to eat. And I was sharing the story yesterday. I remember exactly where I was on campus. I remember just what I was doing. I vividly see it. And what I saw was to the right of me, I saw all these young kids on campus for the summer programs. And no one, absolutely no one, looked like me. And so I thought about, why is that? And I know coming up from I say poverty with money, but not poverty in the values and ethics that my mom and dad taught me and my family taught me and how we love and care and collaborate and build community. But coming from a lack of financial resources, I'm like, I wonder, is it because... which I knew it was at the time, for lack of access. And at that moment, I just remember being dropped in my spirit that I was going to do this phenomenal thing, particularly for girls. And Girls STEM Institute is just a piece of what was dropped in me as a 19-year-old. So I had that dropped in me at 19. I go into teaching. I see these experiences with girls, particularly Black girls. I go through my graduate program. I learn more about the field of education. And I still having that passion to serve others, and particularly that I think maybe because I have a lot of nieces and I have nephews too. I love the guys and the girls. It was just pulling at my heart. And so when I graduated from my PhD, after teaching 3 years in the high school, I, you know, moved to Indianapolis. And that's a whole nother podcast about transitioning and how to do that and do it well. I came here, started working at what's going to be IU Indianapolis in a couple of weeks. And I, you know, was doing my work. I started in my first year here. I had a wonderful colleague that we started to do rocket science programs in community centers. And so I immediately got into that informal space. And that was just, you know, just for any scholar that showed up. And then I started working with a girls organization. And it's the organization's called Guidance, Life Skills, and Mentoring. And so working with that organization, working with the executive director, Chanel Poole, and I was working with her, mentoring her. And then she's like, hey, we need STEM. So I started doing STEM programming in Annapolis specifically for her group. And then we, there was, you know, some shifts and changes. And so we ended up, we remained partnering, but I started to do programming beyond just within that program. And so Girls STEM Institute was birthed out of that. You know, I say the seeds were planted from 19, but kind of entering into the Indianapolis community, connecting with GLAM, being able to work with Chanel, work with her scholars, work with her girls. And then Girls STEM was birthed out of that. And so then we I say we because when I talk about when I was starting Girls STEM, there were two individuals that were with me. I'll call their names, Renee Barlow and Saba Naima Burhan. Like, they have been with me from the beginning. With pay, no pay, is like they're always there. They're still there. So we started, I mean, I had the vision, but we started the program. And the mission of Girls STEM is, you know, to transform communities by creating girls of color, particularly for me, Black girls, to be leaders, innovators, educators, who understand that STEM can be used as a tool for personal and social change. And so creating this space where these girls can come in and be their authentic selves. So my daytime job is I'm a professor at IU Indianapolis, and my research focuses on Black girls and their experiences in both formal and informal spaces. And again, connecting back to my time as a classroom teacher, going back to my experiences of being in classroom and seeing the very negative, and I'm going to use this word and I don't use it lightly, emotionally violent experiences that girls from marginalized groups, and particularly Black girls, have. It's like they need a space. They need a space where they can come and just be them. They need a space where, as research says, that we oftentimes, I say we as a collective, that Black girls are often being pushed into this white middle class norm of femininity. So when they speak out in question, is seen as has an attitude, but it's seen as leadership when their colleagues do that. So I wanted to make sure that they had a space where they could be themselves. And Girls STEM Institute, you know, we are longest standing summer institute and year-round programming is at IU Indianapolis. So we are open to all being in that space. But as I vision and as my team and I create the space, we're keeping in mind those girls who are typically left out, who are typically on the margin, who are typically forgotten, are typically adultified, not even allowed to be a kid. So we want them to have a space where they can be them and also learn and engage at the same time. So it is a both and. I always say I'm both and. We got to figure out how to do both and. But creating that space for them, creating that space that I had growing up where I can do the literacy work and then get on my bike and ride in the community. And I say safety, that we were safe to just be out in the community, out picking blackberries in the woods. Like, we just had that safety. And so to just be and to make mistakes. So my cousins and I wanted a pool. So we couldn't afford a pool. So we dug up the ground and laid down heavy duty plastic. I mean, your parents don't want to come home and see some huge hole. And, you know, we're young. It made sense in the moment. But we were just allowed to make those mistakes. You know, different things happened, just being kids and exploring. And it was, yeah, we knew our boundaries, we got some, but it was okay if we made mistakes. And so so for me, it's creating a space where you can come be yourself. You can be free to be yourself. You can be your authentic self. You can be embraced as your authentic self and have this time to grow and explore. And so that's kind of the short story of what Girls STEM Institute was birthed from. It has grown tremendously over the last, this is our 11th year.
I was going to ask, 11 years. 11 wow.
Years. And it really was a grassroots effort. My husband, Darrell Morton, was tremendous because early on, I mean, we had some funding, but we were financing from our bank account and he was okay with that. And so I appreciate his support. And like I said, I appreciate the two women that have been with me from the beginning. We're very intentional about making sure that our scholars see representation of themselves in leadership. So they come into a space where you're going to have Black teachers teaching you. And that's typically doesn't happen for anyone in school. And so to be able to have that experience. And so any scholar that comes into that space benefits from that. So it's not just, okay, Black girls benefit from having Black women in front of them. No, any scholar, whether your race or your gender, benefits from having Black women in front of them as leaders. And so we create that for them. We explore different topics. So we focus on, we do a holistic approach. So at Girls STEM, we focus on overall wellness and well-being. So we might, you know, we do things from the science of hair care to understanding what you're putting on your bodies and reading labels and making your own skincare, hair care product. Focus on making sure that we're mentally wealthy and mentally whole. Make sure that we have that physical piece, physical activity. And one thing that is extremely, extremely important for us is that we come alongside caregivers, you know, parents, caregivers, and family members. It's not just, okay, bring your girl, your scholar, to Girls and Mensa to and pick them up and we're done. No, really, we're there to support my program manager and director of family engagement. She used this analogy. She said, you know what? Girl STEM is like a clear coat of fingernail polish. Like everything is already in place. We're just that light little buffer if that's needed. So if you need connections to tutors, if you need connections to any supports, we are a very small team and we leverage those connections because we're passionate about this work. And we want to make a difference in the community. We want them to live their best lives and to be in the space and experience that sisterhood, to hear the stories and read the things they write about. I wasn't confident, but now I am. And I know I can make mistakes because we can make them here and that's okay. And I need to advocate for myself. And this is what I can advocate for. That warms my heart. It also breaks my heart to hear about some of the stories they have. And so it's like, okay, let this be a space of healing for you. Let that be a space for us to help you think about how do you navigate that world out there that is not set up for you. So how do we help you navigate life and navigate it well so you can be your best self? Now, I'm a math teacher. I love education. I wish everybody that came through Girls STEM went into teaching, you know, going into a classroom. But they don't. They choose different careers and we teach in different ways. So for me, I do want to help to, if they want to go into a STEM career, we support that. Our graduates, the ones, recent graduates we have, they all, four or five, have went into STEM-based degree tracks. But ultimately, I would say, is wanting them to live the best life possible that they desire to live.
And reach their potential, their true potential.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's so much to unpack there. I feel like all the dots were connected from age two, right? It feels like even going from North Carolina to Indiana and, you know, all of the roads that you travel was always leading to this higher purpose. Like you can, in your story, you can see it from like age two. And I think you were a Girl STEM Institute when you were picking blackberries out in the, you know, backyard. And I think we miss that a little bit in our communities. I know, you know, I grew up in, I was out of the house, you know, especially in the summer. You know, I was out on my bicycle at the park, you know, playing jacks on a painted table. When I scooped up the jacks, all the paint got into my, you know, fingernails and, you know, dirt between my toes and lots of sensory and exploring and innovation. And we've lost a little bit of that, you know, in our communities. But in a way, you're bringing it back, but you're bringing it back in a beautiful way, a safe way. I just love so much about your story because, you know, you're really creating, you're delivering programming with empathy. Right? You're seeking to understand, not seeking to react. Shame on whomever that thought somebody had an attitude, as opposed to let me understand what's going on. You know, that Angie, we'll use that word, was more than likely an innocent, beautiful, developing soul. And there was just not a holistic approach to the education that she was receiving. It was just, you know, here's the track and you either fit in it or you don't. And if you don't, let's blame the victim.
Yes.
Horrible. Horrible.
Shame on you if you don't, not reflecting on what we
did. Yeah. Good for you.
So, like I said, none of us are perfect. So I didn't get all things
of course
in the classroom. And the thing that I can say I got right is understanding my students and building that relationship and knowing that they're in the system of education, so they need to understand the content that I'm teaching, and that I made sure that they did that. But it's helped when I had that relationship built. I like analogies, and I'm a cartoon. I watch animation and all the Disney Marvel things, and I would say I could be Tinkerbell sprinkling fairy dust in the space, but if that space is not welcoming,
there's a quote,
it doesn't matter. You know, I can be magical, I don't say I'm magical in any way, but I could be some fairy tale character creating this space, but if it's not welcoming to someone, you don't want to be there. I mean, if you go to someone's house, you know when you're not welcome, and you don't say, "Oh, let me spend the night."
I love your approach and your mindset. You have such a servant leadership approach, and the humanity, and the, you know, I'm feeling such this humble vibe, right? I haven't heard the word "I" come out of your mouth once, right? It's all about we, us together, and it's just beautiful. Really, so inspiring. So tell us a little bit about the programming that you offer. We're certainly getting the philosophy and the why and, you know, all that, you know, the purpose, the higher purpose that you're filling. And good for you. I applaud what you're doing. But tell us about the programming. If somebody's out there listening, they're like, that might be for me. What can they expect in programming?
So as I said, we do year-round programming. So we like to do events on Saturday. So this academic year, we had a robotics program. We work with scholars that are grades 2 and up. And so we have our junior
scholars,
which our junior scholars consist of grades 2 through 5, and our senior scholars are 6 and up. And so we had a robotics program on Saturday. So we made sure that there's some things that scholars could enroll in and do during the school year. And our signature program is our summer institutes. And we have those in different locations. So the longest standing one is at IU Indianapolis in the School of Education, which is where I work. And that's a 4-week program. It ends up being 19 days. And we do a showcase at the end. And so we have a theme. So this summer, our theme is computational thinking in everyday life. And we have our curriculum director of curriculum who has different learning experiences planned where they will do robotics, they will do some 3D printing. We work and partner with different organizations, so they'll have different experiences on campus where we will be going to different schools. You know, there's just different spaces on campus that students can engage. So they will have those out-of-classroom learning experiences. We, you know, even though we have the computational theme, the STEAM focus is broad. So we do integrate art component into what we're doing. Ashanti's Art Institute has been a longstanding partner. Epiphany Dance Collaborative has been a partner. So we have dance that they do each summer, and that's integrating the dance as well as the science and mathematics in dance. So you would get that 4-week experience. We partner with different school districts when we have funding. We do after-school programming. We have a program. So during COVID, we received the grant from the IDOE, and we started Girls and Guys STEM Institute. And I say we, so that's on the IU side, IU Indianapolis piece. Started Girls and Guys STEM Institute. And so that was a program in which we went into schools. We did after-school programming. We actually did some programming within school. So we do that as well. With funding that's available, that we go into those spaces and do implement that program so that Girls and Guys STEM really became our after-school component. But you can expect those things. We've had parent and caregiver workshops. We had a project where the caregivers and the scholars were learning together. But if you think of, like, our signature program will be the summer institutes, and that's going to be all day. They drop off is at 8. Everybody's gone by 4. We really want to give them a campus experience, but it's a safe. Our priority is to keep everyone safe. So we have a tremendous staff and really try to keep a low teacher to staff ratio.
I want to be part of Girls STEM Institute. How can I join?
Yeah, so and like I said, they're different experiences. We have a power-packed schedule. And then what's beautiful is it culminates with our community showcase. And that's where the scholars share with the community and their families what they've learned. And they present, you know, somewhat, it's more like an interactive science fair, but they do an artistic presentation and they present things that they, from what they learned, they decide, hey.
Confidence building.
Yes. And this summer, they will have some communication workshops and to prepare them for the presentations. But throughout the year, we present with our scholars. So this past year, our scholars presented at 2 international conferences, so they are sharing their experiences, talking about the program, talking about the research that we conduct, you know, starting in middle school. And so I laughed that there was a conference that, you know, is in education, it's like the top conference that you want to get into. And I looked at my middle school. I'm like, you're here and you're in eighth grade. It took me getting a faculty position.
Younger and younger. Yeah.
Getting accepted into the.
I love how well thought out your programming is, because what I'm hearing is, okay, maybe it's robotics, but it's also, you know, your caregivers, and that's built maybe repairing and healing some things, at least for a couple of moments, you know, with that togetherness. You're building community, you're building confident speaking, which is the number one of the top fears of most people, but presenting, which you need to do all your life, leadership. I mean, it's more than just the robotics program. It's very well thought out.
Yeah, it's very comprehensive. Like I said, the whole thing is central. And so while we like to have a theme, and that's what we work from a center, it's still going to be, it's an interdisciplinary approach. And then we have different partners that come in, and we want them to come in and share what they do. We don't want to say, hey, we're doing computational thinking, so you can only talk about this or this. I mean, thinking is, it comes out in so many ways, but we allow that flexibility. And there are things that the scholars say they want to do. So we work that in.
Self-advocacy and empowerment. Yeah. I love it. Well, now I know why you're on your 11th year and experiencing the success, and you've caught the attention of corporate sponsors. So I'm sure that you need many things, which we're going to get into. But as a nonprofit, one of them is fundraising. So that leads us to maybe a fun topic, a different topic. You did catch the eye of a corporate partner who nominated you for the annual Indie Tech Gives program. So for those who don't know, I'll just jump in with a little shameless plug for Indie Tech Gives. One Cause hosts an annual peer-to-peer program where we unite tech companies, come together, regardless, you know, if we compete with each other or not, or, you know, whatever we're doing, we're coming together because we need to be responsible and impact our communities and deliver a higher purpose. So we mobilize all of our teams, and for 4 or 5 weeks, we fundraise and we benefit different organizations. And you're one of them. So congratulations. You caught the eye of a corporate partner. So why don't you talk about your corporate partner and what it means to you to be involved in Indie Tech Gives this year?
Yeah, I'm very excited. So Darren Lastly with Authentics nominated us to be considered for Indie Tech Give. And so we're doing this work through a nonprofit I started. It's really young, called Power, providing opportunities with empowering results. And we're Girls in Us Too is one of those signature programs. So it means a lot to be nominated in this space. I'm very thankful because people don't have to do things for you. And so it means a lot to be considered. I have worked with Darren's wife. I met her in a school. She was my first friend here. And so we met in a math space. And she has, you know, been, when I was building this program, she was there as well. And so her kids have engaged in the programming. So it has just, it's going this full circle of, it's not just I heard about it, my family experienced it. And then connections, friends of their family experienced the program. And so it means a lot. It means a lot to be nominated. It means a lot that someone is willing to help support the work, because it's amazing work. And it is difficult to do the work and then have to fundraise and figure out the fundraising. I mean, we have never operated on a full, we've never operated on a full budget. And so as a whole program, we did receive a grant through IU Indianapolis to the state. And that was the 2 years that we did, and the first time that I was able to hire staff. And so, you know, that was 2 years of staffing, and then that funding in. So you go back. So it just means a lot to have someone notice and say, hey, we want to invest in different people. And this has been happening more often. And I really do appreciate that. So I'm very excited about Indie Tech Gives, and I'm just appreciative and grateful to be a part of
it. Darren and his team at Authentics has been part of the Indie Tech Gives family for a couple of years, and they always work so hard. And it's especially beautiful this year, right? To get to know you, and they identified a good nonprofit, and they do every year, but this feels a little special to me. I think it's going to be an epic Indie Tech Gives year. So we're really hoping that the community comes together as this program was designed to do, bring people together, right? Yeah. Bring tech companies together. Let's be responsible. We're building better tomorrows together. We can't do it alone. We must do it together. And I'm so glad that you're part of the community. So it's exciting. Kicks off June 3rd. And everyone's going to be very active and hopefully fundraising and networking and sharing. And the beauty of it is the more exposure for girls, because now I know about you. I'm pumped up and excited. And then we'll all come together for a beautiful celebratory dinner event in July, and hopefully with a great old big check. So that sounds like fun. So can you just share with us, I think we're getting close to our time, but you're just so inspiring. I could feel like I can listen to you all day. But is there a success story, you know, as we wrap up, that you can share with us from Girls STEM? I'm sure there's many of them. You look like you get behind all of your scholars, but is there one that stands out without mentioning name that you could further inspire us with?
Well, it's a group, and I won't mention their name. There are many, but this past, with the total eclipse, we were selected to collect data from NASA through the Einstein Incredible Universe Project. And there were 7 scholars that took that project on. They gave up multiple Saturdays to come out to learn how to operate a telescope, to just sit and watch. You set the telescope up, and you have to wait. And they did that. And so on the day of the eclipse, as I think about it now, I tear up. But just to see them in action, and it was funny because they would do a TikTok video, be themselves, have a good time, and they were back on their project. We were there just because we need to have adults in the space. They didn't need us there. And they captured that historic moment. And it just warmed my heart deeply. And I'm like, okay. You know, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, there may be someone out there who's treating them like Angie. They treated Angie, but all this brilliance out here. And so that was a huge.
Now you're going to make me cry.
I think it was more success for us because they were just in their element. And we have 2 of them that are going to be working with us. So we hire our scholars during the summer. And so it was beautiful. And that was the most recent success story. Like I said, we have multiple. But that day was historic for so many reasons. Yeah, it was a total eclipse and that darkness came. It was watching those 7 scholars collect this data, do this work, and own
it.
Space. And it was just beautiful. And it, like I said, it was just so funny because we joke, we laugh, and they got that work done. And so it was a beautiful moment. And at one point, you're talking about things just connecting. Our program starts on June 3rd. So for Indy Tech, you have to start.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. Stars are just are all lined up for you. We have to check in like every couple of years, just to see where this journey goes. But I can't thank you enough, you know, being a woman and having a daughter and, you know, hearing the stories that you shared, you're filling a space that is so, so needed. And it's just beautiful to see. I think you're going to have to branch out to the whole country and have, oh, was that a plan? I see the look on your face.
I would love to. We did. I have a good friend, Girls STEM Institute member staff. I won't say staff. She's a part of our leadership team. She directs our science curriculum. So she's faculty member, Dr. Demetria Smith-Mategi at Old Dominion. So she actually last summer did a week of Girls STEM in Hampton Roads, Virginia. So I was like, okay, we're working on that.
So we're in New Jersey. My daughter and I are in New Jersey. We're right here. Yeah.
So yeah, we will love.
We can help.
We will love to expand to be able to expand the reach of Girls STEM Institute. Like I said, we've been here in Indianapolis for 11 years, but what does it mean for it to go national and international? That's where the rationale behind me starting a nonprofit, to think about how can we expand
and have good for you. You'll do it. I know you'll do it. Well, you're feeling such a need, and I'm grateful. So thank you. And the community's grateful. And we're so glad that you're part of the Authentics family, the Indie Techs Give family, and the One Cause family. And we're going to be watching and following and supporting and cheerleading. And good luck. We hope that you have a you Authentics and the community have a very good Indie Tech Gives. We'll certainly check back in with all of the nonprofits and the corporate sponsors and see how we do. But this was inspiring. I've spoken to a lot of people, but you raised to the top as one of the most inspiring. So thank you. I know your schedule's super busy, so I also appreciate your time today. But I'm glad we had this chance to really get to understand Girl STEM Institute and everything that it's doing and every place that it's going. So pretty exciting. Fearless Fundraisers, that's about all we have time for today. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed Crystal and her inspiring story and all the topics on Raise Nation Radio for your daily dose of inspiration. Please tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. That's Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time for new episode releases. In the meantime, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're cresting about 150 episodes, so listen to all of them so you can catch up. And you can follow us on whatever channel you like best because we stream everywhere. And to all you fundraisers out there, you're doing amazing things. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out. hello@onecause.com. We'd love to have you. I'd like to thank our sponsor, OneCause, for making this episode possible. OneCause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out, onecause.com. And please visit the resource tab on the homepage, free content that's available to you, and hopefully it'll help you grow your impact. A huge shout out and thanks to my guest, Crystal Morton from Girls STEM Institute. How inspiring was that conversation? Crystal, thank you so much for being with us today. I so enjoyed our conversation. But I have to ask you, any last words of inspiration?
You know, I have to say, let's continue to be authentic selves and make sure that we're taking good care of ourselves. And all the work that we do, and even thinking about myself, we have to make sure that we identify our priorities and live those priorities. And one thing I always say is you protect your peace, peace of mind, peace of your heart, peace of your soul, at all costs.
Protect your peace. Well, you're certainly living proof of your why, right? And so appreciate you and just your authenticity, the empathy, your servant leadership, and all that you're doing for the communities. You're very inspiring. So you define this show, right? Absolutely. Thank you again for so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Fearless Fundraisers, that's a wrap. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.